Hello, Humanity First community, and welcome back to the Leading for Children podcast. I'm Julia Connolly, show producer and Leading for Children's communications and program leader. At Leading for Children, we are driving a movement to cultivate collaborative communities of empowered and nurturing adults so that children can thrive and so that all of us can thrive. Last episode, we explored how living in alignment with our values strengthens our well-being, relationships, and communities. If you haven't had a chance to listen, I invite you to go check that out. The everyday chaos of our lives makes it really hard to stay aligned with our values. Little inconveniences and responsibilities inevitably consume us, and little bit by little bit, we find ourselves losing sight of the big picture. If you're a parent, for example, think of those nights when you're so exhausted that when your kid asks for a little more screen time or a cookie before dinner, suddenly it's another exception. The point is, it's hard to always do the thing that you know is the most healthy or the most helpful or most appropriate. And even still, as parents, educators, caregivers, and community members, there's so much pressure to do it all right. And there's shame when we can't. But falling out of sync with what matters the most catches up to us, and not in the ways that you might worry about, like irreversibly damaging the kiddos with extra TV and cookies. It's much bigger than that. We're losing ourselves, and we're becoming more exhausted, more disconnected from each other, and ultimately, that word that we always hear about, more burnt out. And that's why this month, we're turning our attention to intention. In this episode, you'll hear a conversation between Nicole Parks, LFC's executive director, and Amy White, LFC's executive assistant. I'm not joining this one live because I want to highlight and honor their unique partnership. Intention has played an important role in shaping their work together and all of the ripples that have followed. So I'll be back at the end to offer a few reflections, but for now, I'll pass the mic to Nicole.
Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Leading for Children podcast. I'm excited to be here today with Amy White, who works closely with me as a key partner in this work. As the executive assistant, Amy brings so much intention and strategy to our work. Welcome to the podcast, Amy. Could you please say hello and introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, thank you for having me today. I'm Amy White, and I am the executive assistant here at Leading for Children. And I'm also a gardener and a wife, and I live in Arkansas with my husband and our dog and our cats.
You'll get to know more about Amy as we carry forward with today's conversation. So in this episode, we really want to think about bringing intention to setting intention. Setting intention is something that we do in every conversation, and often during the podcast, we do that before we start recording. It typically looks something like, let's all take a moment to stop and take a deep breath. And as we take our deep breath, we think about how we're feeling in the moment and we notice what's happening internally for us. And then we think about how we want to show up for ourselves and with and for each other in the conversation that we're going to be having together. And so with that in mind, I'd love to invite you, our listening audience, to just take a moment and join us in taking a deep breath. Allow your body to relax and be open to joining us as we think about setting intention individually and collectively. Many of us likely use this strategy without realizing it, but there's so much power in defining and naming the practice because it then becomes more accessible to us. And we've learned from our members and partners that this creates a shared language, and shared language leads to shared practice, which leads to collective change. So Amy, again, thank you for joining me for this conversation today. And I wondered if we wanted to start by setting the stage, so to speak, in honor of defining and naming intention. What does intention mean to you, and how has your understanding of it shifted or deepened, especially through our work together at LFC?
For me, intention means I'm responsible for something. And there's a lot of things out of my control, but I can control how I show up and how I want to be with people and be in the world. So it's just one way that I can have responsibility for how I present myself.
I really resonate with your use of the word responsibility. When I think about intention and what it means to me, it means that I accept that the way that I choose to be in any given moment, both with my words and or actions, there's a huge responsibility in that. That for me, setting intention is really about saying, you play a part in this moment. There are so many things outside of your control, and yet this is something that you always control. You control how you choose to be. My grandmother used to tell me, you always have a choice. And for me, there's no better place that this applies than to taking my responsibility in any given moment.
And I think I've shifted my thinking toward intention since I've been here because I heard about the road being paved with good intentions and it had like a negative connotation, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't have intentions. Like sometimes they don't turn out or things don't go the way you intended, but doesn't mean you shouldn't have intentions.
Yeah. And I appreciate that too, because I think the thing is giving attention to your intention. And I think maybe that's where that saying comes from. My grandmother used to say that all the time. And I think one of the things she was trying to get us to understand is you can have good intentions. And if you don't pay attention to that, it's just a thought. And so I appreciate you bringing that up. I wonder if we want to shift and think about a moment when setting intention supported us, whether that was in a big life decision or in an everyday interaction.
Yeah, recently I've been thinking about an intention of something not to do, and that is making assumptions. And it's an everyday thing and a big life thing. I've noticed by setting this intention, the natural condition to make assumptions. It really does take intention to not do that. It's an ongoing practice. And I'm starting to notice now when I'm making an assumption and reframe my thinking.
Thank you for sharing that, Amy. Listening to you talk about the intention to shift or change your practice, it makes me think about a recent moment where I was about to enter a conversation with a group of people who I greatly differed with on some of their decision-making and especially the values driving them. And because this decision impacted someone that I deeply care for, I was especially open to enter from a place of judgment and even self-righteousness. And I remember standing outside before I entered the building to go sit down for the meeting and just asking myself, what is it that you want to have happen from this conversation? Do you want to be right? Or do you want to have a partnership so that not only can there be a better outcome for this person that you care deeply about, but that it would also have an impact for all of the people that would be associated with this organization? And it was hard because I did feel like I was right. And I had to really set intention to go in there with an open ear to hear their perspective and to consider that possibly I wasn't right. Rather, was there some place we could meet in the middle? And I am pleased to say that we left that conversation middle ground-ish, is what I would say.
And it makes me think of a conversation we had recently, too, when you were talking about considering the context, like going back to assumptions that there's things I don't know and I can assume, but there's always that context that I may not be aware of.
Thank you for that. And that really makes me think about the beauty and the power of shared intention, that when everyone involved comes to this conversation or interaction with the openness and the willingness to really set intention and it not just be a step that we pass, I think it helps us all to be responsible in that space and it makes it a little easier for us to recognize that not only do we not know everything, it is possible that we're holding a context that someone else in the room doesn't have and might we want to offer that. Instead of assuming, like sometimes I do, that they know and they just don't care. So, Amy, we've been working together for a while now, and I am curious to hear your thoughts about how we each bring intention into our work and what practices or habits that's helped us to stay grounded, even when things move fast, as they tend to do in today's world.
I think one practice that has stuck out to me is the pause, practicing the pause. And that does take intention when things are moving fast, because you want to just on to the next thing, go, go, go. But you want to do things with care, even if things are in a fast pace.
Thank you for that, Amy. I think one thing that has really helped me to stay grounded and that I have so much appreciation for with you and with the team as a whole is that we hold each other's context. And so we recognize that we're more than team members here at LFC, that, you know, some of us are partners, some of us are parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, you know, that we're community members. We recognize and hold space for each other's context. And I think because of that, it helps me to stay grounded because I realize I don't have to rush in any given moment. I can take a moment to notice how I am and to set intention and know that if I need someone to help me in that moment, anyone on the team is available. And especially as you and I work closely together, I really value and respect how you hold context for me. It really helps me to stay grounded and attend to things with care because we wear more than one hat. That's what I'd like to say.
Yeah, and I appreciate how here it's like intention is an expectation. It's an understanding that we all have that we're trying to practice showing up in that way with each other.
It sounds like such a small thing, and yet it's not. It has such a huge impact, and it doesn't take a lot of time. And I noticed that in the rare instances where I don't take time to do it, or we don't take time to do it, that I can feel the impact of that on the conversation.
Yeah, and we talk about the ripple effect. Like, I think intention has that ripple effect across our day, our work, and everything, just by taking that moment to think about how I want to show up and not just rush through it.
Yeah, my grandmother used to say, haste makes waste, and I had no idea what that meant. As an adult, I realized that she was trying to say, even when it feels urgent, slow down, think about what you're doing. Because if you don't, you can make a mess of things. And oftentimes, I appreciate here at LFC, where even in those urgent moments, we'll take that quick pause to go, okay, let's make sure that we are clear on the challenge ahead of us. Let's make sure that we're all in alignment in how we're thinking about it. And let's really have that mutual intention and clarity around what we want to achieve on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So something I'd like to talk about with you is our partnership. And I think you know this, I've shared with you often. Our partnership has been such an important part of my transition into the role of ED this past year. And so I wondered if you'd think with me about how intention has shaped the way we work together and supported this trust and clarity connection between us. Although we've been working together a little less than a year, we've been able to create these things in our partnership.
I think a big thing here is that humanity first is not just a tagline. It's really something that's practiced here. And so holding space for people's humanity or what they may be going through that day in a meeting, we hold time to just talk through things or just give things the space they need. Another thing that I think supports trust and clarity and connection is I remember at one of the first convenings we were at and you talked about perfection. And that really stuck with me because I felt like we don't have to be perfect. We're in this practice together. And it's an understanding that all of it's a practice and we are partners in this work.
Listening to you talk, I, first of all, am sincerely filled with so much gratitude that I have you as a partner in this work. And I think for me, when you talk about the practice being the perfection, the thing that sealed the deal with me, that you definitely was the candidate of choice, was listening to you respond as I gave you this very real and authentic snapshot of what it might look like to work with me, right? Because I thought anyone who's going to work this closely to me, they need to know certain things about me. And as I described to you that although I am very intentional, sometimes I am not as organized as maybe I could be, in that, you know, the systems that work for me may not be the traditional systems. And you immediately kind of chuckled a little bit, actually. And you were like, okay. And you started to share some things that we might try that made me go, oh, first, she heard me, right? She heard me when I said, this is sometimes the way that it might look to partner with me. Second of all, it didn't make her go running for the hills. And third of all, though, that there was such a sense of trust and understanding when you offered some ideas, because in that I heard, okay, I hear you, I see you, and this is the way that we could work together in a way that is meaningful and the right fit for you. And to me, that goes back to setting intention, because what is the intention? And it's not necessarily for me to function using strategies that everyone else uses. For me, I heard you say, let's use the strategies that work for you. And here are some more that might actually be more effective for you. And so I appreciated that. I just remember when you left, feeling this idea of, I don't have to be perfect, that it will be okay if I take a picture of a sticky note and say, hey, Amy, I was thinking about this. How might we move it forward? And you're not going to go, oh, are you kidding me? But rather you recognize that, yes, that really is the way that her brain works. And it's okay. And so I just appreciate that, that right out of the gate, I had a trust about working closely with you as my most authentic self. And so that my intention was really focused on the work that we are here to do. And I wasn't so much trying to be the perfect model of an organized leader. And that had a huge impact for me.
And I appreciate you saying that, Nicole. And I appreciated the context when we met, because I think it's a two-way street of knowing I'm trying to not make assumptions about other people. And when they give me the context, I don't have to. It's like we're openly talking about everything and having an open conversation. And I felt grateful that you could share your challenges with me and that we had already started thinking about solutions together. So that made me think we could be partners and work together without this expectation of perfection. So I appreciate that.
Thank you for that, Amy. Yes. And I think, too, the idea of recognizing intention doesn't mean perfection. It does mean thoughtful and with care and with attention and consistency. For listeners who want to be more intentional in their own lives, where might you suggest they start?
I would say from the beginning, like from the beginning of the day. I've noticed more now than ever since I've been here, when I get up in the morning, not every day, but most days, I do think, what is my intention for today? And it may be something as simple as just like, today I'm going to be kind. Hopefully I'm doing that every day. But on a hard day, it might be like, I'm going to show up today and I'm going to do my best. Like we said, it seems like it's a simple thing, but really over time, there's a shift to where I feel like I am more responsible for what I'm bringing.
I think what I would say to listeners is stop and ask yourself, what do you want to have happen? I think looking inward is a powerful place to start. For me, that's more empowering than looking at my to-do list and going, oh, are you kidding me? I have all of these things to do today. Or, oh, I don't want to have that conversation today. But when I start with thinking about how do I want to feel, it shapes the lens in which I look at everything else, because I don't want to feel depleted at the end of the day. I want to feel fulfilled and energized. And even if I'm tired because I've worked really, really hard, I want to feel satisfied in that at the end of the day.
Yeah, I love that. It's like starting the day with how you want to end up that day. Really?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that. Yes. Well, Amy, thank you again for today's conversation.
Thank you for having me today.
For our listeners, I hope that you enjoyed getting to know Amy, and hopefully you'll hear more from her in the future. Thank you for joining us in this conversation to really think about what it means to be intentional and how small practices of taking a moment to pause or take a deep breath to notice how we're feeling in our bodies, or simply to ask ourselves, what is it that I want to have happen, are some small yet powerful ways that we can be empowered to set the intention for how we want to show up in the world and the impact that we are having each and every day. We're so grateful to have you as part of this Humanity First community, and we look forward to our next conversation.
Hi again, friends. What I'm holding on to from Nicole and Amy is this idea that practicing intention isn't some lofty ideal. It's not an extra task to add to your to-do list. It's a tool that serves us, often in just a few moments, and one that we truly need to thrive. With adults across the country facing heightened levels of stress, disconnection, and burnout, it's time to do something different. Research tells us that when we struggle, children struggle too. They need us to be grounded and present, offering the stability, care, and nurturing environments they deserve. In a recent evaluation of one of our programs, members in New Mexico shared that intention has helped them interrupt reactive patterns, act with more self-awareness, and create calmer, more collaborative environments. One person said, "When I name what I want to bring into a space, I show up differently." It's simple, but it's not small. At Leading for Children, we believe strong communities start with each of us, and that humanity starts with each of us. So before moving on with your day, let's all take a breath. And let's ask ourselves, how do I want to feel at the end of today? If you're looking for more conversations that give voice to the parts of being human and of being in community that don't often get airtime, subscribe to the Leading for Children podcast. Together, we're creating space to see each other and see more of ourselves. You can also visit leadingforchildren.org to sign up for updates and explore ways to stay engaged with our Humanity First community. Thank you for your commitment to shaping thriving communities for children. Wishing you optimism. Till next time.